Welcome to the One Oahu Podcast. I'm Brandy Higa, and today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. And we're joined this week by the mayor's new chief of staff, Andy Sugg. Andy, first of all, welcome to the city.
Thanks,
and
Brandy.
Two, it's thanks for making here. Some time, because I'd imagine that this first part of it is a lot of learning and everyone's trying to really get on your schedule.
Someone said it's like drinking from a fire hose, and I think that's an apt description. It's been a whirlwind, but I'm super excited to be here and trying to learn as much as I can.
So tell us a little bit about where you were before this and what prepared you for this job.
Okay. Well, for the past 7 years, I've been working for NBC in Boston as the managing editor for the affiliate there. So long career in television, journalism, first on the sports side. You can get into that a little bit later. And then on the news side. So always have had a great interest in politics and government. And so when the mayor reached out to me about coming back to Hawaii, first of all, he's a very hard person to say no to. And secondly, I just thought it was a great opportunity at this point in my life to come back to Hawaii, where we love, and do some good in the world, hopefully.
So give us some insight. That call went down like what? Mayor gives you a call, says, hey, man, look, I want you to move back. I want you to be my guy. What was your reaction? And then what was the reaction from your wife?
So it wasn't the mayor had Scott Humber, who is the communications director. He reached out to me. Scott and I are old friends from Boston days. And he just shot me a text and said, hey, would you be interested in coming back to Hawaii? Mayor's, you know, he's looking for a chief of staff. And at this stage in my, you know, 20 years ago, I would have said, no. But at this stage of my life, and given the life experiences that I've had, and knowing the mayor as I do, it was hard for me to say no. And the opportunity to come back to Hawaii and to give back and to do important work. And I was here, we were here visiting last spring and came in and saw the mayor at Honolulu Hale and then went to the Kaneohe Town Hall the next night. And I was just super impressed by the way that was all run and just the engagement with the community. It was really cool. And maybe that, I didn't know at the time, but maybe that sort of planted the seed that if there was ever an opportunity, we'd come back. As to my wife, she loves it here. Loves it here. It just took her a little bit more time to kind of get on board, but she knows the opportunity to come back and work for the mayor and to be back in Hawaii was too good for either one of us to pass up. So she's here and she's settling in and she loves it.
And so what's it been like for you so far? Because all those years of TV, all those years kind of in the private sector, now at this point in your life, you're taking a position where you're choosing to serve the public. You're choosing to, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you now to perform.
It's a very interesting dichotomy. So I am learning that the wheels of government move definitely slower than the wheels of television do.
Right.
As you know, every day in TV, you know, there's really hard deadlines. Having covered so much in government and so much in politics over the years, it's just absolutely fascinating to be on the inside and getting to know how things work. At city council earlier this week, mm-hmm. I had to get up and speak at council for the first time ever. And mm-hmm. that was a new thing. But it's just fascinating. And again, it's only been a few weeks, so I'm just trying to take in as much as I can and absorb as much as I can. Having worked for Hawaii News Now, in my previous time here in Hawaii, I was familiar with the legislature and city hall on a deeper level than most, but very surface, mm-hmm. as opposed to what it's like when you're actually right. In the building. So I'm learning a lot. I'm just asking a lot of questions.
It's interesting you use the word fascinating. Is it not frustrating, though, that things take a little longer, or that, you know, this isn't like TV where you have a deadline? It's almost like you have a sense of urgency from the public to get things done, but it takes so many different hands to make it possible.
That's a great way to put it. And the mayor and I earlier this week met with a woman who is was representing the Vietnamese community in the city. And she came to us with a proposal, and yeah, we were very open to the conversation. And ultimately, I hope that we get something done for her and what she was proposing to us. But, you know, the follow-up is, okay, you need to send us a formal proposal, and you need to know that this is going to take a little while. And but I wouldn't say frustrating. It's just I just have to sort of change the way the days go. Most stuff doesn't happen overnight in government. I've known that, just mm-hmm. having been part of the media for all these years and following politics and government as I have. So I knew that coming into the job, that, you know, you don't propose something and the next day a bill becomes law. It takes yeah. it takes a while.
For those that maybe aren't familiar, and I know I wasn't when I first got into city government, but what is the role of the chief of staff? So what are you responsible for?
That's a great question. That's the question that I keep getting asked. And it's ever evolving, Brandy. It really is. I know that I will be doing a lot of work with the boards and commissions. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing work with the council. I've had a chance to meet 8 of the 9 council members so far and had meetings with them just to get to know them a little better. And I'll be, you know, accompanying the mayor on different events, standing in for the mayor on different events. So I don't think there's a clear like job description like there are for a lot of jobs, not even necessarily in city government, just in general. I'm just here to do whatever I can in whatever way I can to help out mayor and to help the administration. So that was a long way of saying I'm still figuring it out.
But there's some positive to that. But because this role is, you know, fluid and kind of wide ranging, you can make it what you want. So what are your priorities? What do you hope to do in this role as chief of staff?
Well, the number one goal of mine is to support the mayor in everything he does. That's job one. Excuse me. When he offered me the job, he said, I need somebody I can trust in that job, and I can trust you. And so above all else, it's supporting the mayor, supporting our initiatives here at the city, and being out in the community and taking his message to the community as much as I can. The other things are obviously very important, but I think that's all sort of part and parcel of that, is messaging for the mayor, and, you know, working hard for a very aggressive and ambitious second term that we're very confident that we're going to have.
Yeah, you say that, and I think it's really interesting because you're coming in at a time where he's in the final year of his first term. So affordable housing, fixing DPP, homelessness, all of those bigger issues, they kind of already have working strategies. But you're coming in at a time now where that learning on the job period that all of the rest of the administration got in the beginning, you don't have that. So what is that like for you coming in at a time when kind of, you know, the train's already moving?
Yeah, things are up and running. Well, I'm learning a lot of acronyms in city government. I know that's something that I'm figuring out. I feel like I'm here at a great time, frankly, because now sort of the foundation has been laid for a lot of this stuff. Now it's execution and implementation, and I'm hoping that I'll be part of sort of pushing the ball over the goal line, mm-hmm. On a number of different levels. But I know the first few years were incredibly challenging because of COVID and, you know, just the just the issues surrounding that, just right. logistically. So the mayor and the administration seem to really be on a great path right now. So I don't look at that as a disadvantage. I look at it as like, holy cow, I got to get up to speed on a lot of this stuff, which I've been doing in the few weeks that I've been here. But I think we're really, really well positioned to just get cranking in the next term.
What's been the most, I know you just said a couple of weeks, you haven't even been here a month, but what's the most difficult part of this job that you've experienced so far?
Just the learning curve. Yeah, there's just a lot to learn. And as I said earlier, Brandy, I know about government, I've covered government, but when you're actually inside, there's just so many layers to it. And so that's been the biggest challenge, is kind of navigating kind of, okay, if I need a question answered on this, right, I should call DPR. Mm-hmm. But if I need a question answered on this, then I should call DTS. Like, mm-hmm. It's so there's lots of different layers to it that I'm slowly getting used to and figuring out.
A lot of people, you know, we kind of mentioned this, because there's no set job description for this role, a lot of people are critical of this position, especially with a really competent managing director, which we have during this administration in Mike Formby. But what they may not see is, like you mentioned, the larger projects that we're going to use an acronym, COSS, right? That the COSS takes on, the chief of staff. I think of, you know, in the last administration, the previous COSS took on something like COVID testing. Like you mentioned, boards and commissions kind of fall under your Quiliana now. Historically, the liaison for unions. But with all of that and with your background, where do you think you're going to be able to make an impact immediately? For folks that are critical of this position, what can you do now?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned a little bit ago, taking on sort of outward facing projects like this Vietnamese proposal. Those are the kinds of things that I think I will excel at. I love to get out and talk to people and learn about people, learn about their stories. I think those are the kinds of things that I'll be really able to help Mayor out with, as far as just being another voice for him in the community.
Yeah, I like that. If I had to personally write the job description for the cost, I would put problem solver, period. And that's kind of what you are and what you've become, really.
That's it, yeah.
What about, you know, I asked you about the most difficult part of the job so far, but on the other end, is there anything that surprised you in a good way? Something you weren't expecting?
You know what, Brandy? The fact that I've lived here before, if I hadn't lived here prior to coming here a few weeks ago, I would have been sort of overwhelmed by the grace and the welcoming spirit of everybody in this building. I mean, it just, and that's one of the reasons we came back, because we love Hawaii and we love the spirit of Ohana and how everybody just pulls you in if you are willing to be pulled in. And when we moved here in 2012, we didn't know anybody except Scott. And it was it happened so quickly that we just felt such a part of this community and such a part of this island. We fell in love with it. Our kids fell in love with it. So I haven't been surprised by anything in a good way, because I knew what to expect, and it's been exactly what I expected.
Chief problem solver, chief of staff. You know, when it comes to leadership, I'm just curious if you have any mentors, anyone, any leadership styles that you try to mimic.
Well, it's funny, because when I went to work for mayor the first time, I'd had, you know, a number of bosses. Working in television, as you know, you kind of cycle through bosses fairly regularly.
Right.
And I learned more from working for mayor in the 4 years that I worked for him. And I'm not just saying this, I've told him this before, so I'm not, you know, BSing on a podcast. I learned more from him in 4 years than I learned in the previous 30. His honesty, his leadership style, his collaboration, everything about him, which makes him a great mayor, has made him a great leader. His coaching, his football background, it comes out just about every day that you are around him, because he's constantly coaching you up. And so I felt like I had those skills, but I know when I went back to Boston to work for NBC, Mayer was always sort of over my shoulder when I was dealing with personnel issues. And I would, ask myself, well, how would, Mayer, how would Rick handle this? And I told him when I left, the first time, I said, I'm never going to have a boss like you again. I'm never going to have somebody like you. So I didn't when I went back to NBC, not to disparage anybody there, but it's one of the real reasons I came back.
But knowing how he is and how he sets expectations, expects you to meet those expectations, that's fine in the world of TV where that was kind of in your wheelhouse. Do you still feel the pressure here? If anything, it might be amplified because now you're serving the public while also making sure you meet the expectations of your boss, Mayor Rick Blanchard.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if I didn't feel the pressure, I don't think I'd be breathing. Like, of course there's pressure. Like, there should be pressure. Not just because it's a new job for me, but because of what you just said. Like, this is a job for the people, right? I work for the people. I work for the mayor, but I work for the people. And so there's inherent pressure that comes with that. It's not like, you're a teammate and you missed the free throw to win the game. That's pressure, but this is definitely a different kind of pressure. So I absolutely feel that. That's okay. Working in television, there's pressure every day. It's a different kind of pressure, as you said, but like you have to get the news on at 5 o'clock. And if you're not ready at 5, then they don't push it back to 5:05. So there's inherent pressure in everything you do. But yeah, I definitely feel the pressure here. That's good.
Yeah. You made a free throw reference. You mentioned Mayer's a football guy. You were in sports. Our newsletter this month mentioned that you are a Bills fan. Man City fan?
Man City, yeah.
Okay, so what else?
Well, I mean, I'm from Buffalo originally.
Okay.
So I live and die, mostly die with the Bills. but I'll never give up on them. And I hope they win one Super Bowl before I go. And Man City, I've played soccer all my life. And they're the team I started following probably about 15 years ago. And they've been tremendous over the last 11 or so. Love soccer. Love talking soccer with Ryan Wilson, your colleague. One of the few that loves soccer in this office.
Yeah, just the two of you on an island.
That's okay. That's all right.
Who's your baseball team?
Who's my baseball team? The Baltimore Orioles.
How did that happen? That's not...
It's not, no. Yeah, so it's not locational. I grew up in Yankee country, but the Orioles AAA farm team was in Rochester, which is just an hour from Buffalo, when I was a kid. And so I'm one of four boys, and two of my brothers are Yankees fans, and one of my other brothers and I are Orioles fans. My parents are diehard Yankee fans. My mom, who's almost 88, still watches the Yankees every night.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good for her. This month's Mayer's newsletter also mentioned that you're a runner.
I am.
Multiple marathons under your belt.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, as a way to stay in shape, just for playing soccer all these years, I've always run. I love running, clears my head. I don't love going to the gym. And I ran my first marathon in 2000, Boston Marathon in 2000, and thought that was it. Crossed that off the list. And I just have continued to run. My youngest son has type 1 diabetes, and so in 2013, I ran the Boston Marathon for the second time for a charity that focuses on type 1 diabetes. And I ran in 2013 and then three other times, so five Boston marathons, four for charity. And then I ran Chicago once, which is a great race, and I ran Honolulu once.
What'd you think of Honolulu's comparatively?
It's a different race, you know.
It's a lot of more people.
Well, Boston's crazy. Boston's 35,000.
A lot more people that aren't qualifying time people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, yeah, that's true. Yeah, bandits. Yeah. We call those bandits in the business. Yeah, a lot more bandits. But Boston's the yeah. the biggie. Yeah. And it's, yeah, I loved it. And I was there. I ran in 2013 during the bombings, and everybody on our team went back and ran the following year.
Wow.
Which was, yeah, it was amazing.
Are you still involved in the juvenile diabetes community here in Hawaii?
You know, when I was here, I was sat on the board here. Yeah. I don't know that they have a chapter here anymore. My wife, Lisa, I was on the board in New England. And then when we moved to Hawaii, I served as a board member here. And Lisa, when we went back to Boston, served on the JDRF board in New England for the last probably 5 years. So very involved. It's an amazing organization. In a lot of ways, it's really helped our son and so many other people that are dealing with type 1 diabetes. Just the technology and the research. 20 years ago, dealing with type 1 diabetes was a far different thing than it is now. The technology has come so far, and a lot of that has been funded through JDRF, and it's been pretty cool to sort of see the hard work that you've put in raising dollars paying real life dividends for folks that are dealing with type 1.
How old was your son when you folks
12 were? Yeah, he was 12
when so he was I imagine diagnosed. that's more difficult for a child to understand or even express kind of, I guess, symptoms when they're that young versus an adult, you know, who kind of knows, okay, something's off.
It is. I mean, we knew something was off because he was an active kid and just had started to slow down, like really slow down at the age of 12. And there were a couple of the symptoms that I had sort of remembered reading about. And that's when we took him in, and it was, I mean, we sort of sensed it. Mm-hmm. When we called his pediatrician to tell him what was going on, he said, that sounds about right. So we took him into Children's Hospital in Boston, and that was 15, 16 years ago. Yeah.
Well, hopefully those that are listening too, if they have children of their own, they can hopefully look up more information if they
recognize absolutely. Any of the symptoms as well. Anybody who has any questions about type 1 diabetes should look up jdrf.org. It's an incredible organization. It really, really is.
Well, Andy, we're so lucky to have you here. And I know that, you know, from Scott, Ian, even Ryan, they've passed on a lot about how you're able to not just help the mayor, but our department as well. And so for folks, you know, you mentioned wanting to get out. You'll be at all the town halls for folks that want to come say hi, yeah. Ask a question of you.
I will. And if I don't have the answer, the first one, I probably won't have the answer. By the 11th one, maybe I will. But I'm looking forward to meeting a whole bunch of people out there. As I said, the one that I attended last year in Kaneohe just really opened my eyes as to how government should work. It just was so refreshing to see the people in the community asking questions civilly. Obviously, there were some concerns, and they had some a lot of issues that they brought up that night. But cabinet members were there. Deputy directors were there, PIOs were there. Everybody, it was just such a great coming together of the team. And, you know, going back to Mayor, it's always about team with him. And that was the most glaring example that I'd seen in a long time in government.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Brandy.
And thank you for listening. Next week is a big week for us here on the Mayor's Communications Team. Thursday, March 14th is when Mayor Blangiardi will be delivering this year's State of the City Address. It'll be an evening address this year set for 6:30. If you miss it on Facebook, YouTube, Olelo, or your favorite news station, we post a full audio right here wherever you get your One O'ahu podcast. Again, that's next week, Thursday, March 14th at 6:30 p.m. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, aloha.